I appreciate the opportunity to be with you again and covet your prayers that the Lord might be magnified. It would seem that after this morning's sermon, if we're going to have a balanced diet, we've heard about love and maybe we ought to hear about truth this afternoon, and about that close to going that way. A particular comment by one lady this morning, I pretty much knew what I was going to preach this afternoon, but she's not here. So, if she had been here, I had an avenue of truth. I was going to try to answer a question that she had, but it seems that my mind is still steered toward love. I like to when I go somewhere, and it's not my first time here, but it's been so long, I'd like to verify to you that I still believe the same truths that we hold dear. But I think some of that's probably ego, that I'll leave here thinking, well, they at least know I'm still Primitive Baptist. But I'm going to talk about love this afternoon, and I hope Primitive Baptists believe in this part too. As we talked a few minutes ago, there's three aspects of real Christianity. There's the words of Christ, that's the truth. And there's the ways of Christ, that's the love. And there's the walk of Christ. That's living what you've been given. And that reminds me of another sermon right there. I'll almost preach you the living what we've been given sermon. I want to talk about... this love and take it, perhaps, if the Lord would bless us, even to a higher level yet than what we heard this morning. A love for brothers and sisters in the church, a love for all Christians everywhere, and a love even for our enemies. Let's go to 2 Peter, the last writings of Peter, shortly before he would be crucified. We know that's what's going to happen to him because the Lord told him that a long time ago. And he's writing this last letter, bringing them to remembrance, because the time of his decease is closing in on him, as the Lord has told him. Let's read our passage. 2 Peter chapter 1. Oh, let's start with verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his own sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, that is suitable or fit, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, this my tabernacle, even as the Lord hath shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able to, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. The title of this afternoon's message, Peter, from Phileo to Agape. Those are Greek words. I'm not a Greek scholar, but I can look up words and learn their meanings and try to understand the significance. Not knowing Greek, I don't understand all the significance and all the ramifications of those words and all that those words might conjure up in the mind of somebody who knew that language, but I can get some ideas. Peter, from Phileo to Agape. Add to your faith. And he starts down a list. Or maybe he starts up a list. Each one perhaps superior to the last as you're growing closer to the Lord in your walk, climbing that ladder of repentance and change and turning closer to the Lord in your lives. He adds to his faith virtue, and to virtue temperance, and temperance patience, and then he gets to godliness. Well, you ought to be there by now, oughtn't you? That ought to be it. That's about the ultimate, godliness. A godly walk, a righteous living, a piety towards God. But then after that, he adds brotherly kindness even to godliness. That word in the Greek language, brotherly kindness, phileo, like Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Phileo, it's love. It's love like you'd love a brother with. It's love like for your closest friends. It's a very deep love, phileo is. Not knocking phileo, but it's not agape.
Yeah.
Add to phileo, agape. That's loving somebody so much that you would die so they could live. Now, there's probably some folks in this world you'd think you'd do that for, and you probably would. A mother would do that for her child. That's right. I agree with you. I don't know a mother's love, but I know a daddy's love, and it's pretty big. I figure mama loves them more than I do. It's big love, agape is. It's love your enemies. We were as enmity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When our brother died for us, that's agape.
Yeah.
It's a love the world probably didn't know till Christ showed up and started to describe it and then showed it on the cross. That's agape. It's a sacrificing yourself for the good of somebody else. It goes beyond words, beyond feelings, becomes even a thing of will, an intention. It loves when the love's kind of gone, talking about warm, fuzzy feelings. It's love that'll die for somebody else's good. That's the top of Peter's ladder. That's Peter's challenge in his last words, that we put that in remembrance, that we never forget this last teaching that he's given us, because he's about to go. And there's one thing he wants them to remember, and it must be something the Holy Spirit wanted us to remember, because it got in the book.
Right.
I bet Peter preached a lot of sermons that didn't get in the book. This one got in the book. So it's not just for those that were listening to Peter that day, it's for us today to add. And finally, after godliness, love of our brothers, friends, and after that, agape. I submit to you that when Peter wrote this, he was there. But I also want to try to give you an idea that one time he thought he was there, and he wasn't. You remember the time. Jesus makes the announcement that shatters their egos. They're soldiers for the cross. They're those stand with my man kind of guys. In a few hours here, you're all going to tuck tail and run, and nobody will stand with me. And Peter claims agape. He claims agape.
Yeah.
He said, "Lord, though all these be offended, I'll die with you. You can count on me. We're the two musketeers if we stand alone." Had a buddy one time, we were deep in a project and everybody had bailed out. And he looked at me and said, "You with me or again me?" I said, "I'm with you." And we shouldered it and carried it along. The two of us together, I still look back and that's kind of an ego trip. We did a 5-man job, the two of us. And we stood together. Peter said, "I'm with you." But he wasn't. You know the story. He pulled his sword out. He had the courage. He would have done it in the garden. And then he got told to put the sword away. He's a mixed up fella by now, I reckon. It's not the Lord's fault. But Peter's probably thinking about now. How can I win? Wouldn't you have thought that way if you was Peter? I'm not trying to pick on Peter. Peter's a whole lot like me. I can relate to Peter. I had my moment, Lord. I was getting my red badge of courage. I was going to take on that whole army. There's just two swords and I swung mine. And then you fixed his ear. I'm adding a lot, or too much probably. But he's confused. He's honestly a confused man at this point. He doesn't know which way straight up as far as serving the Lord. He doesn't know how to serve a God like this. This kind of God doesn't fit in his kind of thinking. We still got the same problems. We got a whole lot too much natural in us to serve a spirit like God, but we still supposed to do it. So Peter's come to a point that he doesn't know exactly what to do, so he just kind of slithers out when the rest of them go. He gets his opening. Jesus said, "Whom seek ye?" And they say, "We seek Jesus." And they all fall down on their backs. Have you ever seen a turtle on his back? That's about what I picture that day, a whole herd of turtles. All of them on their back helpless until he says, "Okay, now, I'm the one you have to let these go." And Peter goes out with the rest of them. And then he follows. You've read ahead. She mouthed the words. Afar off. That's it. Yeah. Afar off. Got to keep my distance. A safe zone, you know. I want to see, but I don't want to be.
Right.
He didn't really want to see what he saw, did he? He didn't want to be where he was. He wasn't sure what all this was going to amount to, but it looked like it was going downhill fast. And from afar off, he warms himself of the enemy's fire, an unsafe zone. He thought he kept a safe distance, but here he is by the enemy's fire, and a little girl says to him, "I believe you're one of his." "Though all men be offended, I'll die with you." That isn't what he said this time, was it? I don't know who he is. Another girl says, "I'm not picking on girls. There's some tough girls in this world. I wouldn't want to stand up to some of them. I had a tough little girl. She's grown up now. She's still kind of tough." But another girl says to him, "You were with him. I don't care a thing about him. He means nothing to me." It's not King James, but that's what he's saying. You know what he's saying. "I mean more to me than he means to me. That's not agape. He's missing the mark." "You talk just like him. You've got that accent of those Galileans up there. I know how they talk. I believe you were in the garden. Maybe you were even one with the sword. He cursed and he swore." I think what's involved in that language, "he cursed and he swore," he brings down a curse upon himself if he's telling a lie. "Let me burn in hell forever if I'm lying." About this time, Jesus... You know what's going on in the trial about this time? They're asking Jesus, "Who are your henchmen? Turn in some names." And before Jesus says anything, he turns and looks at Peter. And their eyes met. And Peter cut and ran, weeping bitterly as he goes away from the best friend he'd ever had, and the best friend he'd ever had, and our best friend too. And Peter's gone to save Peter. And he'll stand afar off and watch Jesus hang on a cross and die. Peter claimed agape. But then when the push came to shove and the rubber met the road, or ever how you want to say it, he wasn't willing to die for anybody, much less this God-man Jesus Christ. He's a dejected, discouraged, broken-hearted, confused man among men, hiding in an upper room lest he be crucified. It's been 3 days. And suddenly in their presence, without opening the door, apparently, stands Jesus. They believed and they didn't believe. How could it be? These things don't happen. I saw him die. Stick your finger in there. You got anything to eat? He proved himself with many infallible proofs for 40 days that he was alive, that he was real, that resurrection is reality. That's Jesus. And Peter's still a bit confused, probably. I don't know what to make of this. I go a-fishing. I'm not trying to judge him. Maybe he didn't know what to do at this point. He'd been informed earlier of an occupation change. You remember?
Yeah, that's right.
He'd been a fisherman, and Jesus had come to him once before, way back in Luke chapter 5, and can I borrow you a boat? Just need it for a few minutes. Need to preach a sermon. Let me sit on the edge of your boat right up there on the bow. That way the crowd can hear me. Yes, sir. You can have my boat. Keep it as long as you need it. I'm adding a bit of Jeff to that, but think about it. Jesus borrowed Peter's boat and then said, when the sermon's over, and he's taught the multitudes, he said, take your boat and go back out in the deep. Lord, we've fished all night, but at thy word, isn't that sweet? At thy word, I'll do it. An old seasoned fisherman takes the word of a preacher. He doesn't know anything about fishing, does he? Must know little about it. Jesus borrowed a boat for a few minutes and returned 2 boatloads of fish as a favor. John, James, get out here quick. We can't get all these in our boat. And they load up 2 boats with fish. And here are these fishermen. It's the best fishing trip they've ever had in their lives. Finally, we've struck it rich. We in the big time. We just thought we were fishermen. They're probably thinking about signing him on with a contract. We need you to go with us every day, mister. He said, no. Well, after Peter fought before Jesus, said, why don't you just leave? I'm a sinner. Something about you bothers me. I don't think we both need to be together. Jesus said, yeah, we do need to be together. Why don't you leave the fishing? And I'll make you a fisher of men. And they left the fish. There's no account they did anything with them. They left the boats, we're told that. John and James left their dad, who had been fishermen with him, and they start following Jesus. They quit fishing that day, and they followed Jesus for about 3 years. But now all this, it's marvelous, but I don't know what to make of resurrection. This changes everything. Maybe I just need to go fishing. That's what I know the best. And besides that, he probably doesn't have much use for me anymore anyway. After what I did, after what I said, after that look, maybe I just better go back to fishing. I don't know what Peter's thinking. I like to think about what Peter might have been thinking. Anyway, Peter says, I'm going fishing. 6 other of the disciples went with him. Names a few of them. Morning comes. They fished all night and they didn't catch anything. Been there, done that. And on the shore, there's somebody, but they can't tell who he is. I don't know if it's the fog. Or maybe he just wasn't ready for them to know who he was. That's what it was with the road to Emmaus, you remember? They walked with him for a while. They didn't know who he was until he got ready for them to know who he was. So whatever it was that way, I'm not sure, but they don't know who he is. And he said, sirs, do you have any meat? I think what that means is, are you doing any good? Did you catch anything? How's the fishing? Sirs, do you have any meat? No. No. Well, cast your net on the right side of the ship. I bet they hadn't tried that all night. What do you think? Dadgone, we should have thought of that. We've just been fishing off this left side all night. Nah, I bet they tried both sides, the front and the back. And they dropped the net on the right side and get so many fish they can't hardly get the net back in. And old John said, "It's the Lord. It's the Lord. I know who it is. I've been here before. We should have recognized that voice. It's the Lord." And Peter can't wait. He jumps in swimming. Rest of them bring a little boat in, dragging the fish with them, but Peter jumped in swimming. He's going to get to that Jesus. Come ashore, and there's a fish breakfast. Well, I guess it would have been a fish dinner if you'd worked all night. If you're working third shifts, that's supper, isn't it? Anyway, he's got the fish ready. Peter's rejoicing to see him. But there's a conversation that happens right about then. Let's go see if we can find that. John chapter 21. When they had dined, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." I'm certainly not knocking the King James Bible. It's a great Bible. But we miss something right here that we wouldn't miss if we were reading Greek and understood Greek. "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" The Greek word is agape. That's important. Peter said, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." The Greek word is phileo. That's important. They're not the same words in the original language. Jesus asked Peter the question, "Do you love me with that sacrificial love that you claim?" That's exactly what he's asking. Because when he says, "Peter, lovest thou me more than these?" I had one preacher tell me one time, he's asking him if he loved him more than the fish dinner. More than these pieces of fish. I love fish, but I don't die for a fish dinner. That's not what he's using. It won't fit the language. That's not what he's meaning. You don't sacrifice yourself for a fish dinner. Peter claimed, above all these others, though all of them be offended, I'll die with you. And that's exactly what Jesus asked you. "Peter, do you love me with that sacrificial love that you claim more than anybody in the world loves me?" You know what happened right there? There was a knife went in Peter's heart. You claimed it. You claimed agape more than anybody in the world would love me and die for me. You would do it first. That's what you claimed. And Peter's answer is a confession. It's not an agreement exactly, it's a confession. "Yea, Lord, you know I love you like a friend. Give me that much. Give me that much. I don't claim agape. I won't use that word to answer you, but I will claim phileo." Next question. He saith to him the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." The question digresses to a lesser kind of love, but still agape. Jesus asked, "Do you love me?" Period. Or question mark. Without the claim of more than anybody, "Do you love me, agape? Would you die for me? Are you going to claim that now?" Peter's answer is still phileo. "Lord, you know I love you like a brother, like a friend. You know I've proved that I disproved my claim, and I confess to that, but I won't deny phileo. I claim that still." Watch this. He saith to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? This time Jesus digresses further. And Jesus asked Peter, Phileo, do you even love me like a friend? Can you claim to be my friend now? Am I your brother? I've asked you twice. I asked you once at the highest level of agape more than anybody. I've asked you the second time, would you sacrifice at all? And now Jesus asking the question, am I really even your friend? Wow. The knife went in and then deeper and then twisted. Peter was grieved. We kind of miss this in our language. At this point, he's grieved. Because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? I think it's more than the third time. I don't think it's exactly the repetition that causes the grief. I think it's the change in the word. Because the third time he even asked him, do you claim me as your friend? Does our love even go that deep? And he's grieved because the third time he used phileo. That's what it's saying. The third time when you said, lovest thou me, you said phileo. And he's grieved because that third time he asked him that. There's more to it than just the third time and that finally got to him. There's the third time change in the word that twisted the knife and said, can you even claim me as a friend at this point? He said to him, Lord, thou knowest all things. He appeals to his omniscience. He actually, in a sense, stands up to Jesus right here and said, you can't take that away from me. I know what I did the other time. I know I didn't do what I claimed the other time. But you are my friend. I've let you down, but you're my friend. I do love you. I messed up, but I love you. Don't ask me such a question. You know all things. You know I love you. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, back before I found you that first time, when you were happy-go-lucky, when you were young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whether thou wouldest. You did your own thing. You lived life your way. You were a happy-go-lucky young man. You had the bull by the horns. You were a typical young man in this world. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. What's he talking about? This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Peter, do you love me? More than anybody? Peter, do you love me at all, agape? Peter, do you love me even like a brother? Can you claim even that I'm your friend after what you've done? Guess what? I'm going to give you another chance. God's gracious. I've told you, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. But here we go. Now here's the way it's going to work. Here's what you're going to know about all this. In the end, They're going to nail you to a cross. They'll gird you. They'll tie you where you wouldn't rather, where you'd rather not be tied. And it won't be fun. I've been there and done that. He knew what he's talking about always, but he especially knew about this one. I want to tell you, from that point on, in my humble opinion, Peter lived under a curse and under a blessing. How would you like to wake up every morning and wonder, is this the day they're going to crucify me? He got everything else right. It's going to happen someday. It's going to happen to me. That's a bit of a curse, reckon. But how about the blessing part? Next time I'm going to do it. He's already told me. I won't let him down then. I'm going to go through with it. And I'll not deny it. I'll die glorifying him. I'll do this to bring God glory. And Jesus already promised me that next time my faith won't fail. And next time I'll go through it. Next, I'll get to prove it to him before I leave this world. I should have done it a long time ago, but next time I'll do it. He promised. That's a blessing. And a curse. We kind of mixed up folks. You know, there are two of us inside of us.
That's right.
And one side kind of likes the Lord, the other doesn't.
That's right.
The other likes this world a whole lot better than the Lord. The other likes his own skin better than serving the Lord and dying for him. But there's a part in there that would like to say, with confidence, I'll do it. And not blow it. Isn't that awesome? Next time he wasn't going to blow it. From phileo to agape. Jesus said, you just hang around Jerusalem till the promise comes. You'll know it. It won't be hard to recognize. I'll pray the Father and he'll send you the promise. And lo and behold, about 10 days after Jesus rises and goes back through the cloud, here comes Pentecost. And it's not hard to recognize. The crowd's growing. Everybody's coming. What in the world is going on? And Peter takes center stage. The coward has courage. He said, let me tell you about it, folks. Some of them are calling him a drunk. He said, oh no, it's too early today. I haven't had time to get drunk. Just listen to me. And he starts preaching Jesus. That Jesus whom ye crucified, God raised him up. How's that make you feel? Well, it got some of them red-faced mad. It got some of them bricking in their heart. Men and brothers, what we need to do. Here's what you need to do. You need to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. He said it, didn't he? In the name of Jesus. That's the name he couldn't remember a few days ago. I don't know who he is. I don't know his name. I don't know anything about him. In the name of Jesus, you need to get baptized. A few days later, Peter and John come to the temple. And there's that man begging for something to eat. Begging for alms. Fella, can you spare a dime? Silver and gold have we none. I bet the guy got dejected then, didn't he? Why'd I waste my time on you? Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, give I unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. While Peter's calling his name, just every whip stitch, isn't he? Every time he turns around, he's preaching in the temple. The name of Jesus. It doesn't matter who's listening. He's preaching Jesus. Well, it starts a pretty big ruckus when old Leaper is up and going. You remember Leaper. He's the one laying there. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he's leaping. It's what the Bible says. I'm not making that up.
Right.
Now, it doesn't call him Leaper. But it does say he's leaping. And they can't say much about it because there's Leaper. And he's still jumping. Wouldn't you have jumped too? He's not been through rehab. All of a sudden, he's just a leaper. All of a sudden. Because in the name of Jesus, he's got up. Well, you know what they call Peter and John to try? Just a side note. You know who's standing there with them? Or you know who's there jumping? Leaper's gone with them to the trial. He's standing with them. That guy's got courage too, doesn't he? Peter and John, they're at the trial. And it names them. It's Annas. And Caiaphas, you remember those?
Yeah.
Those were at another trial.
That's
That's right.
Three mock trials that night with the Jews, Annas first at his house, then two with Caiaphas. Right. One at Caiaphas' house, then with the Sanhedrin. These are the ringleaders that crucified Jesus. Guess what? This is probably it. I guess this is the time, Lord. You told me it was coming, and here's Annas and Caiaphas and all their kinsmen. And they've got a big crowd with enough authority to crucify a man. They proved it once. And Peter stands before them, and guess what they ask him in court? I find this question amazing. In whose name is this man leaping? Is that all you want to know? I thought you were going to ask me something hard. Something I'd hesitate about answering. If that's what you want to know, here's the answer. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, and the same one God raised up. That's why Leaper's standing here by me jumping up and down. Because of the name of Jesus. And by the way, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you might be saved. Peter just can't get over this name of Jesus, can he? This name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Everything he'd do from here on, well, most everything, I'm sure he had his moments. No man rises totally above sin, but most of his life from this point on is to the name and the glory and the honor of his friend, Phileo. But he stands before these men who have the power to crucify him and said, in the name of Jesus, the one you crucified, this man walks. That's agape. He's willing to die now. He's proven it. Peter has come from phileo to agape. Well, the story doesn't stop there. It just keeps on going. In chapter 5 of Acts, we've gone through 2, 3, 4. Here we get to 5. And they take old Peter and John, and they can't do much to them because Leaper's still hanging around. They can't deny what's happened, but we can sure give them a sound whooping over this. And that wasn't anything to... That wasn't kind of a ruler across your knuckles. They beat them in pretty harshly. And you know what happened at that point? They left there rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. He'd suffer further. And shortly after, as he said in the passage we began with, he'd die for the name of Jesus. Peter, from phileo to agape. And as Peter is approaching his own sacrificial death for Jesus to prove his agape, he challenges you and me to not be satisfied with phileo, to go beyond claiming Jesus as the best friend we've ever had, to be willing to die for him. You may not ever get that opportunity, and it would be an opportunity, a privilege, an honor to be a martyr for Jesus Christ, although I got a feeling I know what I'd do. I'm a big old chicken. And I'd get to thinking about how bad it's going to hurt, and I'd probably cut and run like Peter did. I'd like to think I wouldn't. But I'll tell you what we can do. There's sacrifices we can make every day to prove our agape love. And he said it like this one time. I was hungry. You gave me something to eat. And I was thirsty. And you gave me something to drink. And I was in prison and you came to see me. And I was sick and you helped me. They said, when, Lord? You don't remember. We never saw you like that. And in so many words, he said, you see me like that every day. You look into my face if you'll stop and look, if you'll go to places that I might be. Agape love goes beyond claiming Jesus as your friend. Agape love involves giving up a life. Take up your cross daily, said Jesus. To take up a cross is to sacrifice something. To sacrifice self is agape in action every day. Every day. The opportunities are all around us. Jesus said, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these. You've practiced agape unto me. Yet, it's more than giving away all that we have to somebody. In the description of this agape, the word that we don't have a word in English to describe the word. Some use love, that doesn't get it. Some use charity, obviously that doesn't get it. Because the way we think of charity, he says in his Bible, if you give all that you have to feed the poor and have not agape, amounts to nothing. So the greatest of charity is we think of charity without the attitude inside, that love for others. He said, that's not it. And all the warm, fuzzy feeling that you think might be the love like we think about love more often, that's not it. There's some kind of combination of will that comes into the feeling. It needs feeling, but it needs determination. It's to be done, but it's to be done with the right attitude. To give it all away with a grudge or with pride or with some kind of ego trip. Look what I've done. We've missed it. There's got to be some way, and only through the Holy Spirit can we find this. Some way that we do it with the right mindset for His glory and not our own. And when we've come to that point, if we come to that point, we, like Peter, have come beyond phileo to agape. It's a challenge. A challenge that the Holy Spirit left us in His Word to use Peter as our example. And though we've claimed to love Jesus for a long time, let's rise in that ladder of worship. Go past godliness. Go past loving brothers. Go to the point where we'll give up a life. Life down here doesn't last that long anyway. If we give it up, so what? If we waste a few days not doing something fun and something to His name, so what? So what? Eternity's a long time. We'll have plenty of time to have the fun part, quote unquote. While we're here, we get a few minutes, a few short minutes, to prove to Him that we love Him. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? That's what He asks us. And then He says, follow me. Follow me. God bless you.